From WAMC in Albany, this is the Legislative Gazette, a weekly magazine about New York State government and politics. Your host is David Gastina, with political commentary by Dr. Alan Shartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Statewide distribution for the Legislative Gazette is made possible by New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
Coming up this week, after an embarrassing controversy over stipend payments, the group of breakaway Democrats in the state Senate tries to change the subject. Our political observer, Alan Shartok, shares his thoughts on Governor Cuomo's letter to President Trump for federal help with the city's Penn Station. And in the wake of the suicide bombing terrorist attack on Manchester, England, New York City police have stepped up counterterrorism efforts around Madison Square Garden and other high-profile locations, including the state's capital region. Those stories and more on the Legislative Gazette. After what has been an embarrassing controversy over stipend payments, the beleaguered group of breakaway Democrats in the New York State Senate are trying to change the subject. The Legislative Gazette's Karen DeWitt explains.
The 8-member Independent Democratic Conference has been the target of some bad headlines lately because some of their members have accepted stipend payments ranging from $12,500 to $18,000 for chairing committees when they were in fact the vice chairs, a position that does not legally entitle a senator to extra pay. The IDC's leader, Senator Jeff Klein, has said repeatedly, though, that it's all legal.
We're within the law.
And the Republicans, who control the Senate with the help of the IDC, agree. Nevertheless, the state attorney general and the U.S. attorney for Eastern New York are reported to be looking into the matter. The independent Democrats have also received some blowback from some constituents in their districts for informally ruling with the GOP instead of aligning with the mainstream Democrats. To counter those perceptions, the IDC has come out with a new promotional campaign. They're distributing it through social media, highlighting what they say are their progressive values and calling for a vote on a number of topics. It begins with Senator Klein.
There has been much misinformation and grandstanding concerning where the Independent Democratic Conference stands on key progressive issues. It is time that we set the record straight.
The Independent Democratic Conference members then go on to list issues that they say they all agree upon.
The codifying of Roe v. Wade to protect a woman's right to choose.
For the DREAM Act.
For gender.
The protection of family planning services.
For campaign finance reform.
Senators Diane Savino, Jose Peralta, Tony Avella, Jesse Hamilton, and David Carlucci are talking about adding the protections for a woman's right to choose abortion in the Supreme Court's Roe v. Wade decision into state law, enacting the DREAM Act that would allow the children of undocumented immigrants to receive college aid, a law to protect the rights of transgender New Yorkers, and putting limits on the amount of money donors can give to political campaigns. The senators ask the mainstream Democrats to sign a pledge to commit to those issues.
It is time to call the roll.
A spokeswoman for the IDC says the point of the video is to show that there is unity among Democrats on the issues. It's paid for by the IDC's campaign committee. It's unlikely that the bills would pass, though, with 32 Democratic votes alone. At least two Democrats, Senator Ruben Diaz of the Bronx and Senator Simcha Felder of Brooklyn, are conservative when it comes to many social values. The IDC did not say whether they are seeking Republican votes on the bills. One Senate Republican, John Bonasick of the Hudson Valley, has said previously that he would support a measure to codify Roe v. Wade into state law. Also, if the bills are to be voted on, they would need the permission of the Republicans in the Senate in order to come to the floor for debate. In the past, when mainstream Democrats have offered similar bills in the form of hostile amendments, the measures have been rejected by the GOP. At least one progressive-leaning group is already criticizing the IDC's campaign. The pro-public school funding group, the Alliance for Quality Education, says the IDC has already failed the roll call because they voted for more money for privately-run charter schools. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt.
Joining us now, Legislative Gazette political observer Alan Chartok. Well, Alan, this week, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo called on President Donald Trump for federal help with Penn Station. Transportation infrastructure, of course, the impact of the disrepair is, as Cuomo points out, at a tipping point. We've seen derailments and coming shut down, some of the New Jersey Transit affecting lines as well. And it's at a time when President Trump is saying things like, states, you're going to have to take care of, for example, the pollution in your Great Lakes.
David, you're right. Look, Andrew Cuomo is a very smart politician, and he does what he has to do to get ahead. And we are talking now about a guy who clearly, in my mind, wants to be president of the United States. Now, something that was denied to his dad. But Cuomo has a couple of real heavy lifts here. His most close advisors, Joe Pococo, Todd Howe, and others, will be on trial. And we know what those trials, the Bridgegate trial, did to Chris Christie. And a lot of people have been waiting with bated breath here to see what this federal trial is going to do to Cuomo's reputation. That's the first thing. The second thing is there is a major war going on with Mayor de Blasio in New York City, and it is over the subways, as you have just mentioned, and the abysmal state of transportation in New York, the Metropolitan Transit Authority. Now, with that in mind, it does appear that Cuomo is losing that battle for the public mind with Mayor de Blasio. Why? Because the governor has the most appointees to the MTA, which means you get one more, you're really running it. He can say it's really up to the city isn't putting enough in, but that has its own risks, David, because what happens then is people who live in the city are saying, hey, wait a second, you wanted to be the head of all of this. When the Second Avenue subway showed up, you were the first guy there, and you were beating your chest and saying, look what I've done, basically. Now you say it's the MTA, it's not me, but we know, Governor, it's you, because you're the one who has the votes over there. And we know in the past you've not been afraid to use those votes in the way that will help you. And it does appear that the governor is losing that particular fight, even though it has to be said his numbers are up in New York City. He's doing quite well in the polls. So we'll have to watch the way that this plays out. But it doesn't look good for Cuomo because the strap-hangers groups and others have really been on his case.
Well, after an embarrassing controversy over stipend payments, or Lulus, which we've discussed on this program, the group of breakaway Democrats, the so-called IDC in the state Senate who align with Republicans, has been trying to change the subject. Meanwhile, at the same time, we learned this week from the Times Union's Matt Hamilton that the top state Senate Democrat and staffers were summoned to a private meeting with officials from Albany County District Attorney David Soar's office last week to discuss the controversial stipends. They're already under scrutiny by the state attorney general Eric Schneiderman's office and the U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of New York in Brooklyn. It grows.
David Soares, who is an excellent DA and is the district attorney for the Albany area, becomes of real interest here for a number of reasons. One is that he is nominally in charge of corruption in the legislature. That doesn't mean he does it. I mean, he investigates it, which is one of the reasons that the legislature has traditionally starved poor David Soares and the Albany District Attorney's Office, who need all kinds of extra resources. They're not giving them to one and one makes two. How come they're not giving them resources to investigate themselves? Well, I guess we could all figure that one out. So Soares, who has been limited in how much of this stuff he can do, is now doing it. And while the editorials in newspapers and others should have been saying, Soares, you've got to do this, that is something that he is now going to do. He pulls them all in. Now, it's an interesting, fascinating area because the IDC, the Independent Democratic Group, who broke away from the Democrats under Boss Klein of the Bronx in order to do their thing with the Republicans and get chairmanships and extra money. And this is what we're talking about now, extra money. They've been told that, okay, you're going to be assistant chairman of a committee. The problem for those Democrats is that the law doesn't say assistant chairman get extra money or so-called Lulus. So they're in a bad spot right now. At least one of them has said, okay, take the money back. You know, I watch too much Law and Order to understand that doesn't always work. So the others are saying, no, we're going to basically sell our souls for $20,000 extra bucks And our integrity is going to be questioned as a result of that. They don't call these guys who have left the regular Democratic Party the traitors. Okay, that's a name I made up. The traitors for nothing, because there is going to be hell to pay. If they get primaried, and they may now, somebody's going to say, you're supporting the Republicans, and the Republicans are supporting Trump. And in New York State, that doesn't go down too good. And I use the word too good because I don't want to hear from English teachers. I just did it for emphasis.
Finally, Alan, of course, we're witnessing on the federal level the Trump administration's budget and the Congressional Budget Office looking at health care, for example, and seeing that 23 million people, more people, would be thrown off the rolls. In New York Governor Andrew Cuomo reacts, saying it's going to devastate the state budget. We've been hearing this for a while. And New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio even going so far as to say it will actually kill children.
It will. You know, you take people's health care away from them, no matter what anybody said. One of them said in a speech and got booed for, one of the Republicans in an open town meeting, he said, nobody ever died from lack of health care. Well, they do die from lack of health care. If you can't have, if you've got pneumonia and somebody doesn't find it, if you can't do preventative medicine, if you've got cancer and nobody finds it in time, we all know time is of the essence in all of that, your chances of dying are much greater. The way that this works, David, of course, is that the president puts out a draconian budget. They go back to the legislature. Maybe the House goes along with it because that's who they are. It's an oligarchy under Ryan, the speaker. But when it gets to the Senate, the governors and everybody else who've got to rule their states, and especially the Republican governors, can't stand it. So they come back and they say, yeah, well, we got to have some restrictions on what we can do here. We'll take some of the Medicare money away and do some of the other stuff, but we're not going to take nearly what the president wants away. And so the big fight will be in the Senate. They'll come back with something for Trump, the Republicans will, but it won't be nearly what he's asking for.
Legislative Gazette political observer Alan Chartok. You are listening to the Legislative Gazette, a program about New York State government and politics. I'm David Gustina. In the wake of the suicide bombing terror attack on Manchester, England, New York City police have stepped up counterterrorism efforts this week around Madison Square Garden and other high-profile locations. The Legislative Gazette's Dave Lucas reports authorities in New York's Capital Region are also on heightened alert.
New York City Police Department spokesman J. Peter Donald says citizens in the Big Apple may see heavy weapons teams, explosive detection dogs, and counterterrorism officers. Authorities are also conducting random bag checks at New York City transit locations. Police Commissioner James O'Neill tweeted that the NYPD is closely monitoring the events in Manchester to determine any possible implications for the city. 150 miles to the north, Albany thankfully has not suffered any acts of terror. Nevertheless, Albany Police Detective Lieutenant Brian Hogan offers residents some reassurance.
We have a longstanding relationship working with all of the venues within the city of Albany, and we will definitely work together to make the events here safe and enjoyable for everyone. And if we need to look towards changes, we will definitely do that.
CDTA Communications Manager Jamie Watson says the authority is keeping an eye on world events.
Both our bus service and over at the Rensselaer Rail Station, we are operating under our normal security procedures. We do have a number of security measures that are in place as part of our normal security status at the rail station and on our buses. Our folks over at the rail station, employees, tenants, contractors, they're trained to, if they see something, say something. So even though we are not on a heightened alert at the rail station or on our buses, our folks are trained for situations like this to report anything that they see that may be out of the norm.
Watson adds that daily vigilance is augmented.
We have security guards that are positioned overnight. We have periodic visits from various law enforcement agencies that just pop in to check in to make sure things are going okay, and that's Amtrak Police, State Police, Rensselaer PD. And those visits happen, you know, any time of the day, any time of the week. So we're never really at a point where we are kind of in relax mode, if you will, either on our buses or at the train station.
New York Governor Andrew Cuomo tweeted he was heartbroken by the horrific explosion in Manchester, adding that, as a precaution, state law enforcement will step up security and patrols. Albany County Executive Dan McCoy is deeply saddened by the Manchester bombing.
You know, people are just going to a concert to have a good time, to enjoy a night, to forget about your daily, you know, problems, or just get away from your daily life. And to have a suicide bomber do this, it's the most cowardly act that you can commit. My heart and prayers go out to the people in England and to the families that lost the 22 people and to the injured 59 others that got hurt in this horrific bombing.
Is there any talk amongst city and county officials regarding ensuring the safety of residents here?
You know, we always come up with a contingency plan, and obviously, you know, we added all layers of security at our Times Union Center already. About a year ago, we put the detectors in, and then, you know, it's unfortunately, it's the times that we're in, and but this is how you let terrorists win, because you can't be afraid to go into public places. You can't be afraid to go see concerts. You know, you have to still always go out and stay vigil, you know, for people in the crowds. But it was like, you know, what happened in Boston with the marathon. You know, you can't cancel the marathon the following year. You have to keep continue it on, or they win. And, you know, again, you know, we have taken the proper steps here and continue to evaluate our security for all of our buildings.
With the summer tourism and concert season about to begin, Cuomo says he's also directed state law enforcement officials to step up security and patrols at high-profile locations statewide. That includes airports, bridges, tunnels, and mass transit systems.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Dave Lucas.
Officials in Hudson have codified a sanctuary city resolution the city council passed earlier this year. Proponents say this gives the resolution teeth and the police department will be responsible for enforcing the order. The police chief says not much will change in how his force conducts itself. The Legislative Gazette's Allison Dunn has an update.
The Hudson City Council in March passed a resolution entitled Affirming Hudson as a Welcoming and Inclusive City. Brian McCormick is with the Columbia County Sanctuary Movement. He says an executive order that limits collaboration between the Hudson Police Department and Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, was put on the books last week.
We are definitely happy that it's now enforceable, and that was the importance of the executive order being passed.
McCormick says his organization had been pressing for the codification.
So we are happy that the mayor and police commissioner made that a policy or something that the police department can be held accountable to.
Here's Hudson Police Chief Edward Moore.
We've always acted basically in accordance to what the resolution dictates. We've never really acted as immigration officers. We've never proactively asked for people for identification and things like that. So in reality, the order, the resolution and subsequent order really is not going to change my department's conduct very much at all.
And says more other circumstances may not change either.
My thoughts on this is I'm not sure that the order will change crime rates or even have the desired effect of making undocumented aliens feel safer or more apt to call to report crimes or that they've been a victim. I'm very pessimistic about that because we have a real problem with, you know, citizens calling and reporting crimes. The old snitches get stitches mentality is everywhere. So we have a hard time getting anyone to cooperate.
Yet even if the order doesn't much move the needle in the terms described by Moore, he believes it has value.
On the other hand, it does, you know, get the information out there as to how we operate, and its accountability, and we're accountable to our citizens here in the city, so I don't have a problem with any of it.
McCormick views the passing and enforcement of this executive order as an opportunity to educate the public about immigration and the Hudson community, provide training for the Hudson Police Department around the differences between policing and immigration enforcement, and increase public safety.
And we look forward to working with the police department to, you know, build more community trust with their department now that we are confident they won't be collaborating with us.
The Columbia County Sanctuary Movement is translating the executive order into Spanish, as was done with the resolution. Plus, says McCormick, the group is planning a series of Know Your Rights workshops for community members to include a discussion about the Welcoming and Inclusive City Executive Order.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Allison Dunn.
You are listening to the Legislative Gazette, a program about New York State government and politics. I'm David Gustina. New York State has obtained the 296-acre Marion River Carry in the Adirondacks in a deal that resolves a more than century-old history of property disputes between the state and Racket Lake landowners. The Legislative Gazette's Pat Bradley explains.
In November 2013, voters in New York approved Proposal 4, a constitutional amendment intended to resolve title disputes with more than 200 landowners in Township 40 in the Racket Lake area of the Adirondacks. Landowner Carolyn Gurdon says the vote allowed for a settlement. The legislature would determine if replacement land was a net benefit to the state, while the owners of contested property decided whether they would participate.
As part of the settlement, we were required, it was the percentage of your assessed value of your contested piece. And actually, the town of Long Lake held that money. And then that money is the money that was given to OSI to go towards the purchase price of the Marion River Carry. And then last June, the legislature voted upon and agreed unanimously that the Marion River Carry parcel was of net benefit to the citizens of New York State.
In 2012, OSI, or the Open Space Institute, purchased the Marion River Carry, a portage trail connecting Blue Mountain, Utawana, and Racket Lakes. Senior Vice President Eric Coulisade explains that the Institute subsequently gave the property to the state.
We just out and out purchased the property from the former landowner and held it until the state and the local towns could settle out on the issues at Racket Lake.
On Monday, Department of Environmental Conservation Commissioner Basil Sagos signed ceremonial maps finalizing the settlement. Coulisade is ecstatic to close the deal.
We saw some of the landowners and the look of relief and the look of joy on the landowners that now 150-year dispute has been lifted. But for us, it's a way to give back to this landscape. And one of the most beautiful pieces of property in Adirondack is now part of the public realm forever.
Gurdon says the DEC will soon send letters to landowners relinquishing any state claims to their property.
It's just so significant because people have lived with this fear, concern for generations that perhaps someday they would be taken to court by the state, that something would happen. It's very hard to put in words what it means to people that have been involved in this. And it's been a long struggle.
Protect the Adirondacks Executive Director Peter Bauer says this ends a century-long dispute.
Because it was so complicated and because there were, you know, well over 100 landowners and because it deals with things like title history that went back decades and there had been numerous court cases, it was a very difficult issue to resolve.
According to the governor's office, the Open Space Institute received $631,793.11 in landowner payments from the town of Long Lake and paid $2 million for the property. The Marion Carry land is part of the Forest Preserve and is now permanently open for public recreation.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Pat Bradley.
And that about does it for this week's show. We had help from the New York State Public Radio Network. For copies, call 1-800-323-9262. That's 1-800-323-9262. Ask for program number 1721. Or just listen or podcast on the web at wamc.org. And join us again next week at the same time for more news on New York State government and politics. For the Legislative Gazette, I'm David Gustina.
statewide distribution for the Legislative Gazette is made possible by New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.